Let's all be happy.
Well, you can't just say that. You
yes,
have to live,
I can.
You have to live that. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Today will be an interesting show, fairly emotional, because our friend and coworker Kevin Richter is leaving. Today is his last day. He's been with us for a little over 3 years. He's done an incredible job producing the show, and we're going to miss him tremendously. And you're already tearing up. I'm going to save it until the end of the show. I'm going to try to save it till later.
You barely hugged him this morning.
That's more than I think, Kevin. That was our biggest hug of all time.
Maybe our only ever. I'm not
really.
Maybe.
Yeah. In real life.
As opposed to what?
I don't know what that means. I just felt like saying it.
As I mentioned yesterday on the stream, you should join us. It's loads of fun. I said that you should do a cartoon voice, and you said you do every day on the show.
Yeah, the voice that I use here on the show is just my cartoon voice. I have a real deep resonant voice that I don't waste on the radio listeners. No.
Don't you feel like a proud parent in a weird way?
It's so funny you say that, because I was trying to think of how to best characterize my relationship with Kevin, and I think I don't want to say parent, because even though, as we learned when
cool
we hired
parent.
Kevin, you and I are older than his real parents, which
that's when we should have not given him the job.
That's the best thing about him leaving, right? That'll be over.
Yeah, that'll end immediately.
Whew.
Because that's just rude to come in with that sort of information, that you and I are older than his parents. But I don't feel like... Kevin, do you feel like it's a parental type relationship?
Not quite. I mean, I'm pretty lucky, I think, in the sense that... Hold on one second.
Are you crying?
No, I was having weird technical issues. Anyway, no, I feel...
Oh, that's what I'll say later.
Yeah, when do you get older?
Good one. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
No, I feel like... I know you guys have some years on me, like professionally and in life.
Yeah.
And I'm including Steve in this, but I view you guys kind of like... I'm hanging out with friends every day.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a mentor thing going on, but mostly like we're friends.
But it's weird because he did say in the office that it is weird, you guys. Sometimes you feel like my parents, but I also feel like your parents sometimes, and you have been.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to keep you guys on the straight and narrow.
I know.
Well, I go back with Kevin the longest, you know, because...
Go
you,
ahead.
You raised him. You found him on the side of the road as a baby.
Kevin, what was your first gig here? You would produce Overnight with Matt Bubala,
well,
right?
Yeah, that was one of my first ones. Before that, I was an intern, and Steve, he rattled me a bit as an intern.
Oh, I don't even remember that part.
He probably rattles you now, too, doesn't he?
I hope I can rattle him a bit now.
He does. But he would produce, so I'd come in to do Saturday mornings, I think, at like 5 or something or 4, and Bubala and Kevin Richter would be holding court on the radio.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Thanks for sharing that with us.
But I knew then that one day he'd have to leave the market to make it.
Yes. Not appreciated in his hometown.
No.
Right.
Thanks, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I gave him my best shot.
But you know what's... Here's what's great about Kevin is, like... I remember when I was in high school, even though the classes are certainly the reason you're going to school, the highlight of the day for me was always that lunch
half hour. The social end of it, yeah.
And I felt like I was kind of honing my craft as to what would later become of me, you know, both with stand-up and with this. And I always tried to surround myself with people that were of like mind. And this show, both on air and off air, has become that. You know, it's that same kind of attitude. It's, you know, we all make fun of each other. We like each other, except for you and Steve Bertrand. We like each other.
Come on, who's hugged the hardest today?
You. Steve has.
Thank you.
But that's... Kevin fits into that so well. Yeah, he's a lot younger than us, but...
But we're young at heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Chronologically, we're old.
Yes. Like I said, I feel like I'm pretty lucky, and as much as I like everybody else here at the station, I don't think I would really want to full-time produce any other show than this one.
Oh, look at that.
That's either a compliment to us or a slam to Steve Cochran and to Ro Khan and to everybody else on the station. I'm good either way.
I think it's just the best hours, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, it's the most regular person hours, yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I dodged a bullet when my son Michael didn't go away to college. He stayed home. But now I wake up this morning, my kids are like, say good luck to Kevin, call him a dingus. And then they go, are you going to cry? And I'm like, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to cry.
You're not?
I don't think so.
You will? I think you will at some point.
I think it's already out of my system.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. No reason to cry. This is a happy day.
It is a happy day. We're it proud is. Of you like parents would be.
Right. If we were your parents, but we're too old to be your parents. So we have no idea what that means.
We could be his grandparents.
Right. We're Kevin's grandparents. Now, later on, and this is semi-controversial. A little less than a year ago, I invented this game called Kevin's Blast from the Past. And the reason is that I had a theory that in past generations, including our own, we took great stock in knowing what came before us, but not through no fault of Kevin's. The generation of now is too busy. They've got things to do. They've got handheld devices,
right,
and they've got texting and things like that. So we invented this game where we ask Kevin names from the past, and then people, listeners, get to vote on whether or not Kevin will know who those are. Today will be the last episode of Kevin's Blast from the Past. We'll do that at 11:30, and that's your chance to win prizes. And I always feel bad because we get texts all throughout that saying, why doesn't he know that? How does anyone not know that?
I come off looking like a real dingus.
And I don't want people's last impression of you to be that, because you're not that.
I don't care. It's
oh,
okay.
He doesn't care. And really, none of us care about looking like a fool,
right,
which is why we get along really well.
Right.
And the last time you did this, I left early and I was listening to it and I was dying laughing because I thought it was scripted. He was so funny with his answers.
I agree.
All wrong, but yeah, so funny.
I agree.
So I cannot wait for that.
All right. That's at 11:30. Kevin's Blast from the Past. The final episode of all the questions that you've had over the years will be answered in today's final episode of Kevin's Blast from the Past. That's at 11:30. So stick around. It's a big full show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, I have a story from the local police blotter.
Is everything all right? I hope everything's okay.
Well, I would like to help maybe solve this crime.
Oh.
I think I know a way to do it. First of all, let me tell you the story.
All right.
The Bank of America in LaGrange was robbed Monday afternoon. I went to pick up my son Dylan at LT High School, which is right there, and I see the whole bank is cordoned off with the police line, do not cross, a bunch of police cars there. Didn't know what was going on. The school wasn't on lockdown, so I was wondering, you know, are they filming a movie? What's happening? And then the story came out. Police said that the suspect passed a note to the teller demanding money at about 1:35 p.m. on Monday.
Uh-huh.
The suspect did not display or infer that he had a weapon and did not threaten violence.
Oh, a friendly bank robber.
Yes.
Yeah, good, better.
I got to be honest with you. If I'm a teller at a bank, I don't need to see a weapon. If somebody says, give me your money, I'm going to not risk my life.
Not your money.
Yeah.
Give him the money.
So the bank robber was given the money. He has been identified as a serial bank robber who has robbed 7 banks since January, according to the FBI.
Wow.
The suspect has also robbed banks in Woodridge, Elgin, Buffalo Grove, Rosemont, Des Plaines, Lombard, and Glen Ellen.
It's quite a resume.
It is.
And all Bank of America's?
That I don't know.
Because I bet it takes longer there because you have to fill out a lot of forms. I had some dealings with them. Everything takes 6 months longer with them.
Then I'd pick a different bank if I was a bank robber.
Right. You'd think he'd learn from his mistakes.
According to police, the bank teller said the suspect was seen getting into an unknown vehicle and leaving the area. The suspect is described as a white male, 6 foot tall, 35 to 40 years old. He had a receding hairline, blue sunglasses, was wearing dark pants and a dark jacket, and had bandages on his fingertips.
Oh.
I don't know if he was trying to learn how to play guitar. I don't really know.
Maybe a cooking mishap or something.
Perhaps. But I have a picture that we will post on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, because if we can... Someone knows this guy.
I would imagine, sure.
I'm going to show you a picture of this guy.
Oh, I know that guy.
It looks like that's, someone we know.
That's Rokan, who does the afternoon show here at WGN. That
it
doesn't
looks,
just look like him. I think that's him.
But 1:35, I guess it before he doesn't start till 3.
The show starts at 3, so to get from there to here, a moderate traffic. Yeah, he could have pulled that off.
All right, so posting it on our Facebook page could do things twofold. We could help solve and identify this gentleman.
Right.
And a little promo for Rose's show. It looks just like him.
Was the bank robber extremely critical of Donald Trump and do a Michael Jackson impression at any point during the robbery? Because if they did, we have solved a crime. That looks just like him.
I know. And I saw this yesterday, and I'm like, oh, my God, it looks like Rose. So before I brought this up on the air, I wanted to ask your opinion. At first glance, you really you had to do a double take, didn't
you? It looks exactly like. You couldn't look more like a guy than that looks like Rowe. And I know in the past, Rowe doesn't talk about it on the air, but he's done some time for bank robbery, so that it makes sense.
All right, we have to post this on our Facebook page. And Kevin, have you seen the picture yet?
Doesn't it look just like
him? Be honest.
It really does look like him.
It's the way he holds himself. I mean, this is Rokan.
Right. If there's a photograph of Anna DeVlantis in the getaway car, the rest of the day is ours. We take the rest of the day off. We have solved a crime.
Leave it to Roe to let her do the driving.
Right. Right.
I think Violetta would be the driver.
Oh, maybe.
I don't think Violetta would rob a bank, to be honest with you.
No? That's her strength. No one believes it.
Right.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Right. Well, Powell's in St. Louis, so luckily for this one, he's off the hook. He's
airtight
covering
the alibi.
Right. And Violetta gets in here before any of them do, so... Yeah.
With a lot of blueprints of banks, I've noticed.
The mastermind.
Right.
What's with the bandages on the fingertips?
That's the curious part. Maybe that's so that we say, well, Roe doesn't have bandages on his fingertips, so it couldn't possibly be him.
He did that to throw us off.
Right.
Unless it was a Knarble wagon accident with a blender.
Right. Right. Maybe they were cutting some limes for a margarita and he sliced a finger or two.
He's got rings on his fingers, bells on his toes.
All right, we'll go to our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder.
That looks so much like him.
I know.
And what?
Well, they've identified him as it's the same person who did the other things, but why can't they find this guy?
I don't know why.
In this day and age...
Aren't you shocked that bank robberies still exist?
Yes.
It sounds like something that happened in the Old West and would have stopped by now, or maybe around Bonnie and Clyde time. That would have been the end of bank robberies, but they still exist.
Because doesn't every bank robber know that there's a camera right on your face?
There's cameras everywhere. If I went into a life of crime, it would not be banks. It'd be something else.
Jim has an idea as to why the fingertips have been bandaged. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Bill, Wendy, love you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Probably because he didn't want to leave fingerprints anywhere.
Oh, that's perfect.
Isn't there a better way to do it? I mean, seriously, put super glue on your hands or something to get rid of your...
He's probably not the most intelligent guy in the world. So.
I don't know. He's done 7 jobs already. He's done 7 bank jobs. That's ambitious.
Right. Well, it's great hearing you guys. I always listen to you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
That makes sense, though.
I know, but it looks terrible. It is not very stylish.
But why would this guy invest all this time worried about fingerprints when he wears no disguise whatsoever? There's no mask of any kind. It's just sunglasses.
That's the big point right there.
I'd wear some sort of mask.
I'd put bandages on my face. It'd be like the mummy bank robber.
Right. That would be your nickname that the clever media would come up with.
I always wanted a nickname.
You'd have it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The good idea to cover up the fingertips.
He thought of that part, but he forgot about covering the face.
Which is more important?
Face, by a lot.
Because if you haven't been caught for a crime that you previously committed,
right,
then you're not going to be in the database.
I don't think so. I wouldn't imagine.
This guy has got to be stopped.
When I was in high school, one of my friends told me when this whole ordeal was over. He said, he's been under investigation for 6 weeks because there was a kidnapping in a town near us, and the sketch of the guy who did the kidnapping was almost identical to my friend Mike. So he said for 6 weeks, they were questioning him all the time. You know, what were you doing this day? He goes, I don't remember, I don't kidnap people, but I don't remember what I did yesterday, the
I
day
wouldn't
before
remember.
That, or the day before that. But they were sure, like they had narrowed it down, and they were sure he may have been the guy, but he wasn't the guy.
So have we just created a problem for Ro Khan? Will police be waiting for him this afternoon when he comes in at 3?
You know what? Even if that is the case, it's a funny life lesson. You tell that later on in life, and everybody has a chuckle. Not now. Like, for now, it'd be a nightmare for him.
They should watch CLTV at 3 to see how he looks on camera.
Right.
It looks just like him, you guys. It's not just me. Bill, you agree.
Well, he's part of that.
It's on our Facebook page right now.
Oh, is it already up?
Yeah.
Kevin, is it getting response? Do people think it looks like Ro?
Bertrand, look at it.
It did.
Doesn't it look like Ro?
I can see that.
He's even standing like Ro stands.
Right. It's ironic because he's been on that Windy City Live show for 3 years and he can't get arrested for that, so...
Are you proud
was
of
that Kevin back there?
Yeah.
That was Kevin. It's his last day, Steve.
Wow. You slam Windy City Live more than you slam Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I do. I do.
You don't even watch it.
No, I know.
Why do you care so much?
It's just fun. It's just fun. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll solve more crimes. It's Bill and Wendy
and
Nancy
Drew.
We're
the Crime Stoppers. We're taking a bite out of crime.
That's what we're doing, Wendy. It's WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Bill, it's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder here. I'm trying to remember, was it Friday that our president, Donald Trump, was speaking at a rally and said something, and I'm paraphrasing, that, you know, if NFL players take a knee, those SOBs should be fired. Was it Friday?
I don't
Friday?
Remember what day it was. It was over the weekend.
And I know that players have been taking a knee. It started with Colin Kaepernick. I feel like not a majority of them were doing this, but once the president said something... Then everybody was taking a knee, and there's someone a little local who took a knee at Mass at St. Sabina. Senior Pastor Father Michael Flager on the line with us. Hello, Father.
Good morning, Wendy. How you doing?
We're good. So you took a knee. Was this before Sunday Mass?
This is actually right before the sermon. We really did it to make a point that, as I mentioned when I introduced it, this was not pro or con Colin Kaepernick, although I stand in support of him. But what it was a knee for is to say that the right to dissent in this country must be recognized and must be supported. That, you know, when the President of the United States is talking about telling people they should be fired and calling people SOBs and now telling boycott the NFL until they do this, and, you know, it's totally out of line, and it's also, you know, against the First Amendment rights of people to be able to, you know, express dissent. I mean, that's what the flag is all about.
I'm just saying, protests, I mean, that's what it's about. You're protesting something. Not everybody's going to get along and agree when you're protesting something.
But it's all right to express your opinion. Yep. I mean, I thought that's what we enjoyed about, you know, America. And, you know, it's what's so strange about it is that now it has, there's been, I think, this effort to try to change what it's all about. You know, Kaepernick started out about police brutality and racism in America. Now it's been hijacked, really, by a bunch of folks to say it's about disrespect to the flag. It's about the veterans. This is not about the veterans. It's not a disrespect to the flag. This is about a right to dissent, about things people have a problem with. Now, we have, you know, mass demonstrations been going on in this country about police brutality. We just saw it in St. Louis again. We see it in Baltimore. To me, Colin Kaepernick was offering a very nonviolent, very almost passive way of just saying, we got to recognize some issues America has to deal with. And now the president has decided to step into this, and I think he's just totally out of place. So we took a knee to say we have a right to dissent.
When you do something like this, Father Flager, and I know you have a history of sometimes going a little bit against the grain, and we appreciate that about you, does somebody higher up at the church contact you in any way, shape, or form and say, hey, this might not be our battle, or do they leave you alone?
No, I have not heard anything from the church or the hierarchy. I think that the Archbishop that we have in Chicago now, Cardinal Subridge, I think has been very supportive of our willingness to take on social justice issues. Even when we did it Sunday, you know, like I say, we did it right before the sermon, so it was right beginning the word. It was also, we invited those who wished to join us. It was not, you know, saying, hey, but you must do this or we got to do this. It was just anybody who wished to do it. And to be honest with you, we could not fit everybody in the sanctuary who wanted to come up, from elders to children. And it was something very, very powerful about it in terms of we did it then and then in silence and then the choir singing in the background. But it was I think people need expressions to show their dissent or their anger with conditions going on. If we do not provide safe and provide nonviolent outlets to do this, that's when it bubbles over into the streets to very violent things. So I think one of the jobs of the church is for certainly to be a conscience about issues and not step aside and be separate from them, but also to provide people with opportunities to express dissent without it bursting into violence.
And the job of the President of the United States of America is to bring people together, not use the flag as a symbol to actually divide us at this point.
He has seemingly a knack for doing this since he's come in office. I mean, there's never been so almost polarization and division. It was also very insulting that we're talking about people with tiki torches outside of Charlottesville to say there's some very fine people and then call NFL players SOBs. But, I mean, you know, we got a country that has, you know, crises going all over, hurricanes in Texas and in Florida and Puerto Rico and the islands. We got all these problems in North Korea. I mean, again, you get up and say that North Korea is not going to be around much longer. I mean, I think he thinks he's still on a reality show, and this is real stuff and real lives involved. The other thing, I said one last thing. The other thing that really bothers me about this is What are we teaching our children?
That's the best question ever.
I mean, for children to see this back, you know, when he was groping, you know, women and being boasting about it, you know, and the bus thing incident, and then this, you know, now calling FNFL players that express dissent, SLBs that should be fired, and talk about wiping out a country. My God, what are we teaching our children who we say we're in classes talking about bullying is wrong and threatening people is wrong, and here we are, the head of our country is doing this on an almost daily basis.
Can I say amen to you, Father? Because I'm
supposed to. You're absolutely supposed to.
I'll take an amen, Wendy.
Absolutely. Father Michael Flager is our guest, the senior pastor at St. Sabina. Father Flager, what's your take on the military stance? Certainly not the entire military, but many military leaders, both past and present, have taken the side of the NFL players as opposed to the side of Mr. Trump's. What's your take on that?
I've talked to a couple of veterans over the last week about this whole thing, and you know, and one of the veterans in my church is saying, you know what, I went and fought in a war for us to be a country that had freedom. You know, this is he's not Hitler, and this is America, and we've got to allow ourselves to be able to say, I went to war to fight. So I think most of your soldiers and most of your veterans are going to say, hey, this is what we wanted to go to America, to fight for America for, so we could have a country that could express itself freely. And, you know, I think those are issues that they stand for. I'm not at all surprised that they're standing with that and not with with the president.
All right, and another thing that came up in the news, I saw it on social media, there was a young woman activist who went into a police station and said, you know, would you guys take a knee with me, took a picture, put it out there. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really nice because what they're taking a knee for and what Colin started it with was because of racial injustice. They've been reprimanded. Rahm Emanuel came out saying, no, I think it's a good thing that we do that, and you think it's a good thing as well.
Right. I was so glad that Rahm Emanuel did come out and say that he thought it was a good thing. I mean, first of all, what people probably didn't know about the story, she was going to different places in the neighborhood doing that, children on a corner, some adults on a corner, going different places, you know, doing her thing for videos and just taking a knee, saying we're against police brutality and we are for justice. And she decided to go into the police station right here in the 6th District where I'm at. And she went to a number of police officers and they said no. And then she went to these two and said, would you take a knee? Are you for police brutality? And they said, absolutely not. And they said, I'm fully for justice and would take a knee with me. And they said, we'd be happy to. I said, you know, and I think, you know, we're trying to connect community with law enforcement. That bridge has been so broken. And we constantly hear the police officers, I do at meetings, saying, listen, we're not separate from the community. We're part of the community. And so this is an example amongst all the other people in the neighborhood who's gone around the police. I would say, you know what? We agree, and we're against police brutality. We're police officers again, because most police officers are against police brutality. And for them to do that, as I said, I think they probably did a bigger bridge with young people in the community than 1,000 CAP meetings.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
And support them. And, okay, you can say to them, you know, in a uniform, it's better not to do that. It's fine. But and then when I saw some of those websites of the cops demonizing these guys, I thought, geez, here's an opportunity to connect with the community about something we should all be against. Don't demonize them. Applaud them.
We were trying to figure this out on Monday, Father Flager. Maybe you can help us with this. In this particular instance, taking a knee is seen as an act of defiance, when in the church, taking a knee is really a sign of reverence and adoration. How did it do a complete 180 flip-flop?
Well, I'm trying to figure that out, too. I mean, I think that right now, as we look at the shape we're in America, we ought to be on both knees every day.
Yes.
It's a pretty crazy time. But, yeah, it is amazing that, you know, and when Cap, and I spoke to Cap, you know, over the last year, a couple of times when all this was going on. And he wasn't screaming out. He took a silent, you know, taking a knee about what's happening in our country to young black people. You know, and whether we like to realize it or not, he has been. Dirk, not to say he's the best or the worst quarterback, but there's a lot of quarterbacks out there, starters and backups, that are worse than him. He has not been hired. It's a shame that this happened. You know, it's amazing to me. The whole world was affirming Muhammad Ali at his funeral, and he spent his life in sports standing up against injustice. I guess when he's dead, it's all right to do that. But, you know, when people do it now, all of a sudden it's a problem. And people say, well, keep it out of sports. This is entertainment. Well, right now, we don't have time to be entertained about nothing.
Nothing's entertaining anymore to me.
Not right. You're absolutely right, Wendy. This is it's a scare, and people are afraid. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and wonder if we're going to be at a civil war or a nuclear war these days.
Yep. I don't know how big of a football fan you are, sir, because my guess is most Sunday afternoons you're kind of busy. But that said, don't you think that when the story is told years and years from now, Colin Kaepernick's name will be remembered because of this in a positive light, because maybe he opened some eyes as to racial inequality as opposed to what he may have done on the football field?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that history will say, wow, he was a brave guy. Just like we look back at Tommy Smith and the Olympians that stood up, and we look at them and say the issues that they raised and the conversations they began. And the reality is, I don't know what he thinks, but I think the president actually, you know, took it to a new level of discussion. So now communication's going on all around the country about this. I think I can say it's been hijacked a little bit about veterans and the flag now, but I think the conversation's out there, and it's good. It's just a shame that we can't appreciate, you know, people, things that are doing that are good now. We have to wait to down the line or they're dead to say, wow, it was the right thing, it was a good thing. I think we just have to be really careful in this country right now to not become so polarized, not be so ready to be judgmental. And unfortunately, this is the MO of our leader, so it's trickling down.
Although I'm watching this Ken Burns documentary along with everyone else on PBS about the Vietnam War and just people not being happy with the government right. And protesting, I feel like it's a parallel to what's going on right now. We have to speak our voices and say we're not happy with things sometimes.
You know, and you're absolutely right, Wendy. I mean, when Dr. King in 1967 at Riverside Church condemned the Vietnam War, and I was in college at that time. We were out marching the streets and shutting down Lakeshore Drive and it's about the Vietnam War around this country. And I think that's true. I think how we bring about social change is by protesting. I never believe in violence, but I think speaking out and demonstrating, and whether it's taking a knee, whether it's standing outside of a building, and whether it is speaking at our churches, or at our different meeting places, I think if we don't speak out, I think the real history of what this country is supposed to be about will indeed become transformed and change into something we really don't like.
Father Flager, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. Really appreciate it.
Great thank to talk you to both, you. Bill and Wendy. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Father Michael Flager, the senior pastor
him.
At St. Sabina.
I just love that man.
It tends to make sense, doesn't
yep.
it? All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder at WGN.
It's Bill, it's Wendy, and thank you, Steve Bertrand. Dane Neal is here. You can catch him on the road Saturdays from 2 to 4, and you can catch him with us every other Wednesday. How are you, Dane?
Woo-hoo. I'm good. I am good. These are some really great times. We're in the middle of kind of the food vortex for Chicago, like late summer. So many great things happening all over. I want to tell people to move out of town until this time of year, but this is an especially exciting time of year with so many great things going on.
You've brought an esteemed guest, a repeat guest to the show. We appreciate you being here, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Esteemed, that's a food pun, right?
Yes, it is.
Esteemed as though she'd been steamed.
Yep.
Like a bun at a Cubs game. So in studio, and this is an exciting event coming up, and you've got to think, as for so many of our great chefs that participate in so many of them, they've got to be thinking, what else can we do? You know mm-hmm. that the fans are going to love it coming up. So in studio, you know, food, TV fans certainly know and love her here. Some of the, believe it or not, even though it hasn't been a million years that she's been here, some of the legendary and iconic restaurants for Chicago Girl and the Goat. Little Goat, Duck Duck Goat, and you know, one of our newest Iron Chefs for Food Network as well, the one only Stephanie Izard is in studio. Steph.
Thanks. Thanks for the intro.
Just if people are hearing of you for the first time, the word goat has popped into all of your restaurant names. Because why?
My last name is a type of goat in French. So we say Izard, but it's Izard in French. So it's a mountain goat that lives in the Pyrenees Mountains. So if you were to look it up right now and you looked up goat, mountain goat in the Pyrenees Mountains, you'll see a goat antelope kind of combination thing. But we always thought girl and the goatelope just really didn't have the same ring to it.
But don't throw that away.
Yeah,
you may need that at some
point.
I'm going
to hold on to that for when I, you know, get 20th restaurant. I'm like, what am I going to call this? Girl and the goatelope. Got it.
When you start working on the chalet-based concepts, then
exactly.
You can get in with the goatelope.
I love it even more now knowing that. That's awesome.
So coming up, the Fulton Market Harvest Fest, and I'll let Steph talk a little bit about it, but what it does, it brings all the things you know and love about food and food fest. It's going to have great food. It is going to have kind of proximity to some of your favorite chefs, certainly here in Chicago. But she put out the goat signal, mm-hmm. you know, not to be confused with the bat signal, and brought in some amazing personalities from around the country on the culinary side. They'll be here signing books, doing demos, and then they built in music too, and a whole lot of fun, right, Steph?
Yeah, we sort of took the idea of the Chicago Street Fest and combined it with all the food and wine events that happen all over the country. So marrying my two favorite things to attend and putting them together. So you go to one side of the festival, there's a music stage all weekend. Saturday night, Wild Bell is the headliner. Sunday night, Tortoise is the headliner. Lots of other music acts all day long. Then you walk around the corner to a parking lot that we have KitchenAid as our demo sponsor.
Nice.
And you'll find John Besh, Ron Sanchez, Mark Forgione, Jamie Bissonette, Chris Cosentino, a lot of out-of-town chefs, along with Paul Kahn, myself, Bill Kim, Sarah Gruenberg. A couple of our other friends from Iron Chef Gauntlet are here, Jason Dady, Jonathan Sawyer, Shota Nakajima. So it's like an all-star cast of chefs, along with some of our favorite restaurants from the city. Spiaggia's doing a booth, which never happens at street festivals. Great food everywhere, great music. And yeah, you can also drink bubbles. We have like Dom Perignon is going to be, or Moët Chandon is going to be pouring bubbles throughout the weekend. Goose Island, Bells.
Impressive.
Just a lot of fun.
Quite a roster.
I think there'll even be a Rick Bayless sighting as well. So
yes, Rick Bayless as well. How can I forget Rick Bayless?
Yeah.
His demo is on Sunday, I believe. So yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun.
What's happened where we all want to see this now? I mean, being a chef, as I always say, is the new rock star, but we're so impressed with it.
Yeah, I think when you go to a chef demo or you see chefs, you kind of get an insight into their world. You go to these restaurants and you just kind of want to meet the person behind all of these flavors and sort of meet the character that created this. And when you come to a festival like this, you get to see up close and personal, see these demos. It's like watching a combination of a comedy act as well as cooking. And there's always something that goes wrong, so you have to make it into a bit of comedy. And then you get to meet them. They'll be right there signing books and just hanging out and just being themselves. And I think getting to see some of these guys from TV just being themselves and hanging out at a festival, that's what, you know, it's just fun. It's fun for the chefs and it's fun for the people, too.
You don't hear people who attend the festivals. Typically, they're very happy with what goes on, being dissatisfied, saying, you know what this needs.
Yeah.
And it needs this. Was this you, Steph, thinking like, you know what this needs is? Because, you know, it's got all the things people know and love, but you built in some kind of crazy left turns that are cool.
Yeah, I just was thinking about all the things that I love about events. I mean, we even have it. We have like 2,000 hay bales coming in to put around all the streets to sit on to like really bring home the Harvest Fest theme and also just make it more comfortable and fun. And really just turn the neighborhood, celebrating what Fulton Market has turned into. It's just got beautified. So there's still some construction to get done, which the music stage will block. But otherwise, just really celebrating what's happening in that neighborhood and just having a ton of fun all weekend.
Tell everybody what you told me during the break, which is Fulton Market is almost unrecognizable from what it was 15 or 20 years ago. But talk about my fear was when Oprah left that area might get a little quiet. But it didn't. It did the opposite.
It's definitely booming. You know, Paul Kahn came to that neighborhood first, then we came in with Girl and the Goat 7 years ago. And since then, there's near Girl and the Goat, since we opened 7 years ago, like 25 other restaurants have opened in that little vicinity. Yeah. Then the Ace Hotel just opened. A couple other hotels are coming up. There's condo buildings going up left and right and getting filled with all of these people that just want to live where everything's happening. I mean, if you come on any night, it doesn't even have to be a weekend. There's just people everywhere. It feels like a bustling little part of the city where people are just out to have a good time.
So their plan was wait till Oprah leaves and then
make it really fun.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, it is really like at any given night, it is like a street fest there. It is like a celebration. Certainly you have, you know, great chefs and successful restaurants, but you're right, Steph. It's got this whole vibe to it. There's people in the street walking around. It's a party.
Yeah, it is a party. You know, it makes for getting my car out when I'm leaving work a little bit crazy. I'm like, there's a party everywhere. But it just looks so fun. You can basically just have a cab drop you off in that neighborhood or take the L right there and just walk around and jump around to different places and have a great time.
That's excellent.
We have talked about the, you know, kind of the giving and the camaraderie of the chef culture here in Chicago, how they get together for a lot of great causes, certainly a lot of great times and amazing food. And this is no exception. You guys have remembered that I brought in Pilot Light at least one or two different times.
Yeah.
And it's a great charity. They're being supported by this as well. That's one of Paul Kahn's kind of babies, right? Him and a couple other people.
Yeah. So Pilot Light is going to actually have a booth in our, we have a whole kids area also, which I think is great because a lot of the fests, you're not, are 21 and over. You can't really bring kids in. So there'll be a kids area and Pilot Light will be there doing some kid interactive demos and such, but really also just showcasing what Pilot Light's all about, which is about educating kids through food. And Paul Kahn is such a, was one of the founders and yep. is such a huge supporter that we wanted to make sure that the fest was raising money for something that we all believe in.
It's so fun when you see these demonstrations because then you want to go home and pretend you're a professional chef in your own kitchen. I mean, you know, in the 80s, I had the fingerless gloves that Madonna had, but now after watching chefs prepare things, I have my own little salt cellar so I can use my kosher salt and throw it in and go, yeah, I just did this. I'm a chef now, but I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the demos, there'll be some of them that you'll see that you're going to go home and want to make everything from it. Then uh-huh. you'll see Chris Cosentino's demo and his new book, which is amazing, which just showcases all sort of the bits of the animals that you might be scared to use, but yeah. he makes them into delicious
just
dishes.
Just a dash of beak.
So yeah, just a dash of like something that you're like, do I want to know what that is? But it's delicious. So Chris Cosentino is going to be showcasing that. And he's also doing an event Saturday night. I think there's a couple tickets left for an after party in the underneath of Mama Taro at the Izakaya. So it's going to be a big party with Chris Cosentino and Mark from Mama Taro, just having fun and kind of making food they'd make for staff meal and just having a big dance party all night. So
all the
chefs will probably be there hanging out. You can go party it up with John Bash, which is always fun.
And the website, for which is a lot of fun, actually. I have to stop and recognize that. Yeah. And so the website where people can see the lineup, all the different entertainment, certainly get some tickets.
Yep, FultonMarketHarvestFest.com. There's a couple other, there's a brunch on Saturday with John Bash, Ron Sanchez, and Bill Kim that has, I think I just texted, there's just a couple tickets left. And then on Sunday, there's Between Bites, where I'll be doing a reading and a bunch of other chefs are going to be doing reading stories. There's a couple seats left at that, which is hosted at the Ace Hotel. So a couple other things still open, but you can check out the lineup and see what you want to catch for next year, too.
Let's also stress the price point, which is incredibly affordable.
Incredibly. So it's a street fest. So in Chicago, that means it's a suggested donation, just $10. Yeah. So you can come in, pay $10. You can see all of this stuff, but you're going to want to drink and eat, too. So just buy some drink tickets. And there you go. Incredibly affordable.
And Wendy, you mentioned you wanted to, you know, become a celebrity chef and kind of play that role at your home. Now you'll have to build in some extra fun. You'll have to think of what your walk-up music will be.
Oh, yeah.
Because now here you're going to have to think of what song says Wendy.
Right. I just got a text from Bill Kim. Finally texted me back his walk-up song of Tribe Called Quest. So
nice.
All the chefs have their own walk-up songs.
Energetic.
There's a t-shirt cannon included. So we're going to be having a good time.
Stephanie, great to see you again. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You. Thanks
it
for
sounds
having
like
me.
A great time. Dane, stick around. Don't go anywhere. We'll
okay.
take a quick break and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder along with our friend Dane Neal. And Dane has brought in more guests.
Even more.
Even more.
It's like those commercials. Where you say, but wait, there's more.
Right. It's a live version of But Wait, There's More.
Well, you know, there's a lot going on. You know, September is one of those months where there's so many different things going on, a lot of fun things and a lot of opportunities to raise some awareness for important causes. September is National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And it's also, you know, Cub getting into the, you know, the playoffs for the third consecutive year and the first time in 100 years Awareness Month as well. So we've got in studio, we've got Abby Suarez. She's the executive director for the Anthony Rizzo Foundation. And we've got guys who are a huge part of my show on Saturday. They sponsor the Bonafide Ride of the show where we pick a great car from some of the listeners every week. And they support so many great causes, not only great causes to cure hunger, right, with Bona Beef, but also for some great organizations as well. We've got Joe Bonavolaccio, the third in studio as well. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thank you.
Bona means good. Thank you very much.
It does. It does. So I was thinking to let Abby talk about Anthony Rizzo, obviously on the headlines of so many different newspapers for what he does on the field. People are aware a little bit about his history and some of the struggles and challenges he's had and his ability to pay it forward, and he's doing a lot of that here in Chicago and around the country. So, Abby, if you want to give a little bit of insight into the foundation and some of the stuff that you do there.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having us. We're really excited to be here and let kind of people know what we're doing at the foundation and that we're here as a resource for families battling cancer. Anthony was diagnosed with cancer when he was 18 playing for the Red Sox organization, and when he was with his mom getting treatment, he said, I'm going to beat this, and one day we're going to be able to give back when I make it to the major. So 5 years ago, the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation was created, and we've been helping families ever since. This year, we'll give away, we'll raise about $2 million.
Jeez.
Yeah, $4 million total.
Talk about giving back.
Yes, we're really excited. And we just made a $3.5 million commitment to Lurie Children's Hospital. And later today, we're about to announce a $650,000 donation to the University of Miami Sylvester Research Center.
So. All right. Not only does he raise money, though, Anthony Rizzo goes and talks to these kids and pumps them up. It's pretty amazing to see the reports of this.
So about every other game, Anthony invites a family out and meets with them before a game, has them at batting practice, and then just gets a chance to meet them. And once a month, at least once a month, I will say that we go to Lurie Children's. We don't bring any cameras. We don't tell anybody. And he goes and really meets with the families there and the children and bring some hope a little bit, and it's really fun. I'm really lucky where I get a chance to go and see this and do this with them, and to walk out of a room, and Anthony walks out of the room, and I get to kind of linger back and hear a little kid go to his mom, like, look how big he is, Mom. Like, he had cancer, too, and so I can still be big. I can still be a major league athlete. I can still do what I want. So besides the money he raises, just the inspiration that he gives to these kids and these families that there'll be a life beyond cancer, that they'll be able to beat it. And 60% of kids who are going to suffer long-term side effects from the cancer and from the cancer they're fighting now, just from the treatments that are out there. So it's really an inspiration for these kids to see Anthony doing what he wants to do and that their life is going to go beyond cancer.
Abby, because of this job, I've been lucky enough to meet some incredible athletes over the years. He is without a doubt one of the most genuine, nicest people I've ever met. He's just such a good guy.
And that really comes from his parents. When I say this is a family foundation, this is really a family foundation, which is why we love working with Bona too, with the family restaurant, and they get it. Lori Rizzo and I are on the phone for about 2-3 hours a day.
That's his mom.
His mom, yeah. Lori. His brother John helps us with all our contracts and the accounting side. It's really a labor of love. Before I joined this team, his mom and his agent Mark and Anthony would sit on the phone for an hour every day figuring out how they're going to respond to emails. His mom was on an 8 a.m. call with me this morning, running around, passing out things in Parkland because we have a walk there. So he learned a lot from his mom, his parents, who are amazing and really contribute to this foundation.
You mentioned fun. It's tough with a subject like this and a topic like this to make it fun. But you've done that, and you've mentioned that as one of the priorities too, is to try to take some fun and build it into the stressful situation. And the folks at Bona, you know that. And Wendy, you're a big Sox fan. That's the official beef.
I like the Frank Thomas one. But whatever.
Of the White Sox and of the Cubs.
I love that commercial. Make it hot. Make it spicy.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's the best.
And when the cameras stopped, they fought, didn't they? In my head, they fought.
Anthony's actually a huge fan of Frank Thomas. He's like, good? I gotta be in a commercial with Frank Thomas.
Really?
I thought they CGI'd him. They were never even in the same room. It was just too risky. But Joe, talk a little bit about how you built in an opportunity not only to raise some awareness for the foundation, but have some fun with some of the customers and diners and create the signature sandwich that people are doing.
Well, obviously, we do have a number of things going on in restaurants for the Rizzo Foundation, but just hearing Abby talk about the foundation, even for the last 5 minutes, it just reemphasizes why we want to be involved with such a great family. But specifically in our restaurants, we offer a sandwich the Rizzo way. Guests come in and say, oh, make it a Rizzo, make it a Rizzo. And we're able to donate a portion of the proceeds to his foundation. We also do food drops at the hospital for some of the patients there. And then we've also participated in his annual cancer cook-off. Actually, after the Cubs won the World Series, we did a souvenir cup featuring Rizzo, number 44, and we donate a portion of the proceeds on every cup sold back to his organization as well.
And the Rizzo way is what? That's the
cheesy and red
mozzarella.
I will say the Rizzo way was a big fight within the Rizzo house.
Was
when
it?
We were coming up with this recipe with so Bona,
cheese or no cheese?
I watched them eat about 10 sandwiches. It was awesome.
Yes.
Research.
They were very specific on how they wanted the sandwich, and Anthony and Lori were going back and forth of should they have this, should they have that. I can't remember which specifics they were going, but when we say it's the Rizzo way, it is really how Anthony wants
it. It's the Rizzo way or else.
Yes. Or else.
He did go 4-for-4 that night after about 10 of them.
How
so
inspirational.
For all you young baseball fans out
there. I remember last year you guys had the Jay Cutler sandwich, which was a regular beef sandwich, but you kept dropping it, and you don't have that anymore, right?
Yeah, that one didn't make the menu. No.
But when Bona says they do food drops for us at Lurie's, that's a really important thing that a lot of families don't think about outside of the cancer world is, so when you're in the hospital and your child has cancer, they get meals from the hospital, but the parents don't. So all of a sudden, it's a huge expense paying for three meals a day in the city. We all know how that expensive mm-hmm. that is. So when Bona comes in with us and is able to deliver meals to these families, it's a really huge thing for them to say, oh, I have my meal. I don't have to leave my kid today. I don't have to find some food. And I don't have that expense on my plate. So they really love when we bring in Bona.
That's outstanding.
Yep. You guys are doing great work.
And we'll highlight them. We're going to highlight, hopefully, for the division champion Chicago Cubs. They'll have clinched it by that time, hopefully this Saturday on the road. So stay tuned for that.
Excellent. Guys, thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate it and everything you're doing. Dane, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, go on.
No, just thank you. And thanks to Kevin for pushing all the good buttons for 3+ years. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, our little Kevin Richter moving away.
All right, a quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim Gordon. Kevin Richter's last day. He's been an amazing producer.
I'm so sad, but I'm excited for him at the same time.
That's how we feel.
I know.
Amazing producer and even better friend.
Yes.
That's all the niceness I can do, or I will cry the whole rest of the day.
Don't be weep. Wendy,
Now I'm done.
Well, where's the niceness been the past 3 years?
I know. I don't like when people are nice. It makes me uncomfortable. I like when everybody's snippy to each other. It makes me feel like, you know, I'm with my family.
Sure, of course. 312-981-7200. We need two contestants now for a game we've played, I think, two or three times before. Kevin's Blast from the Past. This is where we mention notable people from years gone by, and then Kevin doesn't know who they are, and you have to bet on whether or not Kevin will know them or not.
We need two players, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
We have some nice prizes for you, whether you win or lose. The prize if you win, slightly better than if you lose, just slightly.
You don't even need a prize. Honestly, this is just so fun to listen to. The last time you did this, I was not in the studio, and I was listening, and I was dying laughing.
Thank you, but my fear with this is, and I've said this before, is that because we get a lot of texts from people saying, how can he not know who Spiro Agnew is? How could he not know who? And the goal of this is to not make Kevin look bad. It's just to back up my hypothesis, which is that people who are around Kevin's age, 30, don't really know as much about people who already, you know, existed like we used to. They're busy. They have other things going on. You know.
Well, it's funny, too, because as we talk to Kevin about things, he laughs, and then
Goes, who's Buzz Aldrin?
Well, he doesn't even do that. We can tell by his right. uncomfortable laugh. We're like, do you even know who that is?
He's being polite.
No, I don't.
Yes.
It is pretty.
Yes.
He's a nice boy. He's a nice boy.
That's what he is, Wendy.
And he will do well in L.A. Although, don't lose your heart in L.A. Seriously, because he has such a good heart. He's such a good guy.
That'll be gone by the third day. Los Angeles will suck that out of him.
No, he's got to keep his Midwest roots in his heart anyway.
Yeah.
What's your guys' names again?
That's what I mean. See, he's already acclimating to the California way. All right, let's get us a couple of contestants and then make Kevin look bad, shall we?
Yes.
All right.
On his last day, I love it.
Yes.
Shall we meet Larry? Hi, Larry.
Hey, Wendy.
Larry, have you heard us play Kevin's Blast from the Past in the past?
Stutterer.
That's the word past a lot, isn't it? Have you heard us play this game before? So you know, it's pretty simple, right?
Yep.
All right, stay where you are, Larry. We'll meet your contestant, opponent.
This is Alice. Larry's from Palatine. Alice, where are you from?
Chicago.
And you're familiar with Kevin's Blast from the Past?
I am.
All right, very easy, very easy. All right, Kevin, if you would, come in here, because we don't want you to have access to a computer. Not saying that you would cheat, but Wendy, you would cheat. Yeah. All right. Here's how it works. I will mention the name of somebody, and then we'll take turns. First you, Larry, then you, Alice. You will have to just simply give us a yes or no as to whether or not Kevin Richter will know who this notable person is. It's that simple.
We're diving right in, huh?
Yeah, we're jumping in, Kevin.
Okay.
No time for pleasantries. All right? Are you ready, Larry? Here is the first name. Will Kevin know who this person is? Norman Bates.
That's a big.
What do you think, Larry? Will Kevin know who Norman Bates is?
I'm going to say no.
Larry says no. Kevin, who is Norman Bates?
Now, before I proceed,
yes,
can these figures be fictional characters?
They can be.
Norman Bates was a poor soul whose mother, he had mommy issues, I believe. and Psycho. I'm going Psycho. He was a guy
from
Psycho.
Absolutely right. Kevin nailed that one. Larry, you will not be awarded a point because Kevin, and you should get an extra point yourself, Kevin, for the mommy issues because that's Norman Bates is the poster boy of mommy issues.
I got nervous because you were giving me a look and then Wendy started, I thought I was way off.
No, you couldn't believe it.
I thought it was going to be like a politician or something and I was going to look like a total idiot.
All right, no score, half a round in. Alice, this one goes to you. Will Kevin know this name? Annette Funicello.
Nice voice, Craig.
I get excited when I think about Annette Funicello.
No.
I'm with you, Alice.
Alice says no. Kevin, Alice doesn't believe in you. I do. Tell everybody who Annette Funicello is.
Annette Funicello? Did I even say that right?
Yes. Yeah. Your voice is supposed to crack, but you did a nice job.
She was a runner-up in the 74 Olympics, in the 200 meter broadstroke.
What's great about Kevin is even when he's wrong and we've already given him the body language, he just runs with it. Kevin,
so I'm wrong.
You're wrong, but Alice benefits from you being wrong. Annette Funicello is a former Mouseketeer, and she did beach party movies with Frankie Avalon and loved peanut butter.
Did she like to swim though?
I don't think she did.
Okay.
No,
I was
no,
way off.
No, no. Alice, after one round, you are our leader. Here is round two. Larry, question goes to you. Will Kevin know this name? Twiggy. What do you think, Larry? Will Kevin know who Twiggy is?
Larry, are you there?
Come on, Larry.
He's pondering.
Yes.
He says yes. Kevin, tell everybody, please, who is Twiggy?
Hello.
Right? Am I right? It's, I only know it because of you two. I know who he is
Lenny
because of
and
you
Twiggy
two.
On Laverne and Shirley.
Right? No? Am I wrong?
That would be Squiggy. Twiggy's brother, Squiggy.
Oh, my God.
Are you getting Twiggy with it?
I thought you meant Twiggy. I didn't know which Twiggy you meant because there are two very popular Twiggies.
Well, there's Twiggy the water skiing squirrel, right. But I meant the very thin fashion model Twiggy. Kevin, you were wrong. Larry, you
60s.
Said yes. Yeah,
Larry should get a half point.
No.
Or I should get a half point.
You got it wrong.
But it rhymed.
No points will be rewarded for that. So, Larry, unfortunately, you're 0 for 2. This one goes to you, Alice. You already have a 1-0 lead. Will Kevin know this name? Meadowlark Lemon.
Yes.
Alice believes in you.
I do too on this one, Kevin.
Let's see, Kevin. Who is Meadowlark Lemon?
Can you use it in a sentence for me?
Oh, look, there's Meadowlark Lemon.
You're so helpful.
Alice thought I was going to get this one?
Yes. She believes in you.
Oh, Alice. Meadowlark Lemon was a developer, an architectural developer in the 1960s, having a lot to do with the... Okay, I'm just going to...
You got a buzz from Alice. She made her own buzz for you, Kevin. Kevin, you couldn't be more wrong. Meadowlark Lemon was the star player for the Harlem Globetrotters for many years. So after two rounds, Alice, you lead 1-0. We go to round three.
Doesn't she have 2 points?
No, she didn't get one there because Alice said yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So no point was awarded there.
Don't have faith in Kevin, you guys.
Larry, will Kevin know who this person is? Doc Severinsen. Doc Severinsen, what do you think, Larry? Yes or no?
No.
You say no.
I'd have to agree with you.
Kevin, Doc Severinsen.
I know the name.
Oh, all right then.
Because Doc is pretty familiar.
No, Doc Severinsen. Oh, but I'm torn. You just did a basketball thing, and I want to say he's a basketball player, but I'm not submitting that as an answer yet. All right, yeah, he's a basketball player.
Dr. J is what you're thinking of?
Doc Severinsen was the band leader on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show.
I was way off.
So
I was going to say a musician. That was my next guess.
Larry, you received a point on that. You have now tied the score at 1-1. Alice, you can win if you know this one. If Kevin doesn't know. Or if you know if Kevin knows. You know what I mean. Here goes. It's tied 1-1. Will Kevin know who this name is? Lovey Howell.
No.
I gotta admit, it took me a second.
Alice says no. Wendy was reticent, but she's come to believe in you, Kevin. Who is Lovey Howell?
Lovey Howell was a He was an actor for a sitcom in the 70s.
You didn't even get the sex of the person right.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's yeah. not like Lovie Smith.
Oh, no. That's where I went.
Hey, Lovie.
Lovie Howell was one of seven stranded castaways on Gilligan's Island. She was the rich millionaire.
Okay.
A millionaire and his wife. That's
Alice,
him.
You her. Said... No, yeah, she's well, the part of that song.
I said actor. That's got to be worth something.
You said one. He.
It's that's okay.
Right.
Look it up in the rule book. It's okay.
As we review our scores, Larry, you got 1 out of 3. Alice, you got 2 out of 3. That means Alice is our winner on today, the last episode ever of Kevin's Blast from the Past. We have some fabulous prizes coming your way, Alice, and some... conciliatory gifts for you as well, Larry.
Really? Because what do you have for Larry?
I'm going to go through Kevin's stuff, and whatever I find, I'm going to send him.
Alice, we'll set you up with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And I'll tell you what, Larry, let's give you one, too.
Oh, very generous.
Kevin was very disappointing with this today. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank
hold
you
on.
Very much.
Hold
thank
on.
You.
Stay on the line.
I love this because, you know, this is what I really enjoy about Kevin. One of the many things. He sometimes has absolutely no, well, many times has no idea, but doesn't just go, I don't know.
Right.
He plays along.
I know.
But then I also, like, when I got Norman Bates right, I was second guessing myself as I was saying it.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Remember, this is a guy who overthinks everything.
Yeah.
You got to trust yourself.
Yep.
Trust yourself in LA.
Am I blinking too much?
A little bit. All right. Stick around. We will say our tearful goodbyes to Kevin Richter.
No tears.
We're going to try not to cry, but we'll see what happens. It's going 1DWGN.
Oh, that is the last musical rejoin you will play on these very airwaves. And a listener has suggested, Bill, that today we refer to this radio station, WGN, as Kevin 20.
I like
instead
that.
Instead of 720.
I think that's appropriate. I really do. Do we want to bring Kevin in, or will that make you cry?
I'm done crying. I already...
You've cried out.
I cried out at the beginning, and now I'm just happy for you and proud of you. And I think I can't talk anymore.
Because you'll weep.
Thank you.
Kevin, don't. Because if you cry, Kevin will cry, then I'll cry. Oh...
Am I coming in?
Totally
yeah,
sure.
Come on in. Bring some Kleenex.
Stephanie Menendez is here, who has helped us out because you started as our producer. Why did you give me tissues?
I did, yeah. And then I hired Kevin as your producer.
Yes. And the consensus is you made the right choice.
Kevin has been a tremendous producer here, a team player. He's been successful on air as well when he's filled in several times and hosted with Sound Sessions. We're so proud to know him. And oh my gosh, I can't look at him.
I know. I just can't.
But you know what? Don't you think there's always like a crossroad in somebody's life where you say to yourself, even though you're happy and I hope you were happy doing what you were doing here, you
absolutely.
Say to yourself, there's a chance. And if I don't take it the rest of my life, I'll wonder what if. And you're taking that chance, and that's a good thing for you.
Yeah, we're going for it. It's bittersweet.
You can't not take a chance.
Right.
Because change is very scary. But
ABBA was right when they said take a chance. They knew what they were saying.
Take a chance. You'll do great. You're
well,
awesome.
You it's been a whirlwind for 7 years, I think. I started here in 2010. So, I'm very happy with how the past 7 years have gone, I would say.
Bertrand's going to come in and say how he met you first, just to make everybody feel less important.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
Radio Kevin 20, I love that.
Yeah, I know. that's
perfect.
From a listener, so thank you for
I need that frame,
that.
That's awesome.
But, you know, if I can pay you this compliment, and I mean this, I don't look at you as like a son. You're like a friend and a brother and just, you know, someone that I've loved working with. But if one of my daughters brought you home or a version of you, I'd be thrilled.
He's married.
Know?
That's sweet, though.
I know that.
I know it
would create a problem for you with your wife currently. I get that.
I know what you
but
mean.
But if they brought home somebody like you, then, you know, as a parent, I go, oh, that's perfect.
If you need me to interview any potential suitors,
we will.
I'm a phone call away,
Bill. Definitely will.
I would absolutely do that for you. That's very sweet. I appreciate that.
I mean it.
And my kids have wanted to hang out with him. I mean, you know, I hear a lot of the same conversations at home from two teenage boys and then come to work with you and Bill and hear the same type of thing.
Wendy, everyone wants to hang out with Kevin.
You know what? But it is.
That's
young
what it is.
Or old. You know, They want to hang out with you. We wanted to hang out with you. Yeah, you were our producer, but you were also our friend.
I agree. Thank you, guys.
So good luck.
This is weird.
Don't look at me.
Keep talking. Say more.
No. This is.
I hope they find a cure for whatever you have.
Thank you, Bill. I needed that, actually.
Alex and then a cliffhanger.
You will do great. And you and Sarah are a lovely couple. Happy anniversary. What an exciting way to spend it by, honestly, this is where your wings are going to open up and you're going to fly.
Hopefully. We'll see. But no,
you'll figure it out.
I love you guys. I love this station. Oh. I love this city. I mean, it's been a whirlwind, like I said.
Well, look at the impact you've had. There's nearly a dozen people in here, and you don't see that all the time.
Four of them are standing up.
Right. You're getting a standing ovation from a lot of the office people. All right. We're still going to do the bonus hour with you, so we'll say more formal goodbyes up there.
I will just cry for 48 minutes.
Oh, that's fine.
That's what the bonus hour will consist of today.
That's fine. It's called The Stream, so it'll be The Stream of Tears today. So
Radio
Kevin, Richter,
Kevin 20. What a great idea from the list.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you, Kevin, for being our producer and for doing such a great job and for being our friend.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. We'll turn things over to Steve.
We love you.
Bit.
Good luck.
Stick around. More ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.